20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Make sure you're following us over on TikTok as well, at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And if you want, over at Blue Sky at Andy Herman NFL as well. Before we get into day two of training camp and everything that you need to know from day two, shout out to Troy Devine for becoming an all-new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. If you haven't checked those out yet, make sure to do so. Again, now is a phenomenal time to become a brand new YouTube member as we get set for training camp, preseason, regular season. You're not going to want to miss any of that extra content, including those weekly members-only Q&As. But let's get into camp day two right away. Lots of stuff happened, and it started off, of course, with our normal attendance report, and nothing too earth-shattering here. Quay Walker did get reinstated off the PUP list, as we mentioned yesterday. He wasn't doing a whole heck of a lot, though. Mostly just kind of standing back, observing the defense, and just, I don't even know if I would call it reacclimating a little bit. That's an interesting one, where we know it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get reacclimated. He's, you know, working back from that ankle injury. They lifted the physically unable to perform list, but he didn't really do anything. Does this lead us to believe that maybe there is some contract stuff? I still am kind of believing Goody on this one, that there's no contract related issue there. But it was just, you know, good to see him back out there nonetheless. We'll kind of leave it at that. Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, Amar Johnson, John Williams, and Elton Jenkins remained out. No updates there. I still did not see the new kicker at all, so he also was not there again for the second consecutive day. And then we did have a couple players get banged up throughout the course of practice. Kamal Haddon and Malik Heath both got nicked up at one point. Both, you could tell, were frustrated at, you know, to get kind of hurt in a moment. The good news is both of them returned to practice. They both seem fine. You could tell it was like kind of the chest area for Malik Heath. You could tell that he was, I don't want to say nursing it or anything like that, but it was just bothering him a little bit is what I would kind of say. But he, again, was totally fine, fought through it, and, you know, really practiced out through the remainder of practice. So no concerns there, it would seem. Kamal Haddon, couldn't tell exactly what happened, but again, he let out obscenity and, was clearly, hurt in the moment, but again, he returned and was totally fine. At least it seemed as well. So great news that both of them returned. The one that, it would seem that there might be a little bit more to would be Aaron Banks. And to be crystal clear here, I have no idea. All right. I have no idea if he actually got hurt. All I can tell you is what I saw. So there may not be any injury. My guess is there probably is. So I saw him grimace coming off the field. Didn't look like he was totally right. Walked to the sideline a little bit gingerly. Next period was the two-minute drills. The ones go out there. Aaron Banks, who had been with the ones all day long, was not out there. It was Travis Glover. Doesn't necessarily mean a lot. Maybe he took, one group session off to, either just, kind of get his bearings or whatever. Maybe they wanted to work Travis Glover in. Then we go over to individual drills. He does not take any reps with the offensive line. He is standing there. He's got his helmet on, but he didn't do any of the individual drills. There were multiple other team activities throughout the course of the day, and he did not return, at least as far as I saw. He did not go with a trainer. At least I didn't see him go with a trainer. He did not go in the Don Hutson Center. He did not go, down on the ground from what I could tell. He was not getting attention. Hopefully this is something pretty minor, if there's anything at all. But he, again, came off the field. Also, I should note it, he was limping going over to that individual drills as well. So definitely felt like there was something. Hopefully it's much ado about nothing and he's back out there on Friday, but something to monitor nonetheless with Aaron Banks. He did get beat up a little bit in minicamp, did not practice at the end of minicamp. No idea if they're related or again, if there's anything to this at all, but just something we'll be kind of keeping an eye out for on day three of practices, if Aaron Banks is actually out there or not. As far as the starting lineups go, no major changes with anything from a starting lineup standpoint. Bretton Cox in walkthroughs was with the ones. We're going to go through in just a moment all the players that were working with the ones in those walkthroughs. It's been interesting for the last couple of days because the walkthrough group has been different, and then they get to the actual team activities where there's actual like more live reps, and then it's different from the walkthrough. So it's a little bit interesting. I'm not exactly sure what kind of goes into that. It felt noteworthy that it was Rashawn Gary and Bretton Cox as the two starters in walkthrough. And then Kingsley Enagbare and LVN were down on the other side. Like that felt like, oh, that's really interesting. But then you get to the team drills where they actually do something and LVN is working opposite Rashawn Gary. It's just a good reminder that with any of this stuff, it's fun to look at. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to discuss, but it probably doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot in the scheme of things. But good for Brenton Cox to kind of get that opportunity, even if it was just a walkthrough to work with the ones opposite Rashawn Gary. Here were all the players that were in the walkthrough period, just the walkthroughs at the beginning. So at the very beginning of practice, you've got the two separate sides, the main group and then the secondary group, and they're just going through walkthroughs to begin practice. It's kind of how they get out there and start things off. Here were every single player that was working in the primary group. On offense, Jordan Love and Malik Willis. Running backs were Josh Jacobs and Chris Brooks. Wide receivers were Savion Williams, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, and Malik Heath. Tight ends were Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, and Ben Sims. Offensive line was Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, and Zach Tom. So those are your offensive players. Matthew Golden was down on the other side. Savion Williams was with the primary group. That was a little bit interesting. But again, not much to read into here. And again, Chris Brooks was the one that got that second running back spot with Josh Jacobs. Along the defensive line, Rashawn Gary and Brenton Cox were the only defensive ends. At defensive tackle, it was Wyatt Clark and Brooks. Linebackers were McDuffie, Cooper, and Simmons. Corners were Valentine, Hobbs, Nixon, with Bullard also working in the slot. And then your safeties were McKinney, Williams, and Javon Bullard. So those were all the players that were with the ones or in that primary group when it came to walkthroughs. One of the main portions of practice, the key takeaways through the day, was the two-minute drills. They did 4 2-minute drills, and I'll just spoil it for you. The defense won every single one of the 2-minute drills. The defense was rather impressive throughout the course of the day. You get out there, I don't even remember, it was like a minute 40 left, like ball on your own 25, first and 10, tie game. It is worth noting that it's a tie game because, you know, if you don't make it to, you know, you're the other side of the field, you're not going to go for it on fourth down. You're going to quote unquote punt the ball away. Very first play, 2-minute drills. It's the number 2 offense, which I think was against the number 2 defense, but there were a smattering of kind of first team players that were kind of mingled in there as well. But it was primarily the twos versus the twos. Very first play, I believe it was Isaiah Simmons who tipped the ball. Carrington Valentine made a diving interception. I believe he returned it for a touchdown as well. So huge play from Carrington Valentine. Suffice to say, the twos won, the defensive twos won that battle very early on and had that sweet pick six. Then you get that same group sort of redid it, right? So they got one play. Sometimes in those situations, by the way, they'll say, you're done. That's it. You only get one play. In this situation, they give them sort of a redo, and they had a couple plays here and there, but they ultimately got to a third down situation. Malik Willis checked it down. They weren't able to pick up a first down and had to ultimately punt the ball away. So another win for the defense. Then you got the number one offense versus the number one defense. Had a couple nice plays, picked up a first down. There was a little bit of a generous spot on a Savion Williams catch. I thought he was short, but they gave him the first down and gave him out of bounds nonetheless. But this was another situation. You got to a 3rd and 7, and Jordan Love got the hard count going. Nate Hobbs came up to go and press the wide receiver, but it wasn't, of course, the play wasn't live yet. He got back, but on his way to go up and press, he actually did make contact with the wide receiver. So it was a neutral zone infraction, which made it a 3rd and 2 instead of a 3rd and 7. So not a great play from Nate Hobbs. What's the best way to make up for that? Atone for it on the very next play. They try to get, I think it was a little out route. I think it was Wicks, but I could be wrong in the receiver on this particular play. Either way, Nate Hobbs reads the play the entire way, jumps it, makes a diving pass breakup, breaks it up, and the offense has to punt the ball away on fourth down. So Nate Hobbs quickly, is forgiven for his previous play with the neutral zone infraction by coming up with a big pass breakup on third down and again, forcing the offense to punt. Next group, the threes. I should note that Taylor Algirsma was the primary number 3 quarterback throughout the course of the day on Thursday. On Wednesday, it seemed to be Sean Clifford. So these two might be in sort of a little bit of a rotation here. Algirsma goes back, I think it was on the second play. I think there was maybe an incompletion first, but on the second play, goes back to pass, trying to hit a seam route to his tight end. Not sure if there was a miscommunication or if he saw something different. but it basically ended up where he threw the ball directly to Omar Brown. Omar Brown made a nice play on the ball from a safety position, picked it off, and that was the end of that drive. So the defense came up with two interceptions, a pass breakup, ultimately two stops on third down, which resulted in the offense having to punt the ball away. And the defense won all four drives, and the offense did not win any of them, which is pretty impressive when you consider it was a tie game, right? So all you needed to do was get into field goal range to let Brandon McManus have that attempt. Don't think he would have done it. Brandon McManus didn't actually do any kicking in this particular situation, but would have given him that opportunity in a real game. But the offense did not get, I don't believe, got past midfield in any of the four drives. So really great job by the defense, and in particular, the defensive backfield, again, in all four of those two-minute drives. We'll be right back. Some players of note from Thursday. I want to start with Nate Hobbs. Again, I talked about him a little bit yesterday. He had a really nice day again. Yes, he had the neutral zone infraction, but immediately made up for him with that big pass breakup. You just feel him out there. He's got an intensity about him. He's got, I think what you're really going to see is a physicality about him, but we haven't obviously been able to see that yet. He is quick. He makes quick decisions. He plays fast. He's got great instincts. You're starting to see all the reasons that they really like Nate Hobbs. I asked Matt LaFleur about him, you know, prior to the start of Thursday's practice. You know, he was glowing about, again, the ability to play outside and inside, that they thought he had that versatility, but they've really enjoyed watching him play outside corner as well, and just really acclimated himself well to Jeff Hafley's defense so far. The next one I wanted to talk about is Matthew Golden. Do you want the good news or the bad news first? All right, I give you the slight bad news, nothing major, but he did muff a punt from the jugs machine in punt return drills. So that was his negative play for the day. And it's such a weird thing. I saw this before when in mini camps and OTAs, he was back there returning punts. And the immediate reaction to this was, good, I don't want him back there anyway. He shouldn't be back there. Put Mecole Hardman there. And I'll talk about this in a moment. I do think Mecole Hardman looks like the most natural returner. But what we're about to talk about with Matthew Golden is how dynamic he can look. I understand that there's this connotation of, oh, you're going to get injured if you're back. It hasn't really come to fruition as of late in the NFL, where you're more likely to get injured as a punt returner when you're back there. Matthew Golden is insanely fast and is super dynamic in the open field. Spoiler, we're going to talk about that again here in just a moment. If he shows that he can catch consistently, I would absolutely love Matthew Golden to be back there. Now, when he is like in the fifth year of, you know, his career, and if he's your true number one wide receiver and things like that, yeah, I get that conversation. We can have that at that time. Like if he ends up being Davante Adams or Greg Jennings or Jordy Nelson or like a true legitimate number one wide receiver, yeah, I get it. You probably don't really want him back there maybe that much. But like Tyreek Hill will still do punt returns. And if you had Tyreek Hill, I don't think you'd be super upset if Tyreek Hill was back there returning for you. Like I don't get that conversation at all of like, oh good, I don't want him back there. Why? Xavier McKinney plays special teams. Edgerrin Cooper plays special teams. And maybe your response is, I don't want those guys doing it either. I just think we're past those days. Like, look at what Alabama does. Alabama, especially under Nick Saban before he left, their best players, I get colleges in the NFL, but their best players are playing on teams. You're seeing it more and more often where some of the best players in the league are out there on special teams units. This is not a insignificant piece of the game. If you want to be good at special teams, you need good players out there. And I'll say it right now. If Matthew Golden, screw the fact that he had one muff punt, it doesn't matter at all, by the way. If he ends up being your best punt returner, by all means, put him out there. Let him be dynamic. I would have no issue with that whatsoever. And do not get the connotation or the conversation at all of, oh, I don't want him out there. If he's not the best returner, then I don't want him out there either. And I don't think he's going to end up being the best returner. So again, maybe that's a piece of the conversation. If you just feel like, hey, I think Mecole Hardman's better. Cool. That's fine. I have no issue with that. But this idea that a really potentially really good returner shouldn't be out there, I just don't get that at all. And give him the opportunity in camp at least. And if he shows that he's dynamic and that he can catch the ball, which again was a problem today on the one play, then by all means, don't put him out there. But I have no issue with them giving that opportunity to see what he can do before you actually ultimately make that decision. And by the way, this is all information. Like Dontavian Wicks was back there. He's not going to end up being the returner. Can you imagine the guy with the hands that have been the most inconsistent in like the entire NFL? You're not going to put him back there on punt returns. But this is all just information gathering, reps, seeing what players can do, you know, and you ultimately put together like a depth chart, right? So yeah, maybe Matthew Golden isn't your number one, but if Hardman's your one and Hardman goes down, you better have a number two. And if that number two guy's down, you better have a number three. So you have to be cognizant of where your, you know, depth chart is, even at punt returner, kick returner, who your next guys up are at every position, punt returner included. So I think it's still smart to put him back there, see what he can do, and then ultimately make an educated decision based on what you've seen in the practices. Obviously, not a great start today with the muff punt, but that is a downside of his day. Outside of that, we really got to finally see some really juicy, fun stuff from Matthew Golden. So first play that I want to talk about was just like a really short play kind of in the flat. I don't know if it was like a 4 yard out or a comeback or a dig or whatever the case it was. Doesn't really matter. Gets the ball in a short gain situation. Gregory Jr. comes to make the play on him and just completely breaks his ankles. Gregory Jr. goes flying by. Then Tyron Hopper's up next to go and make a play. Jukes out Tyron Hopper, cuts inside on him. It opens up acres of space, which allows him to use that speed with that 4.240 speed to his advantage and accelerates up the field for a big gain. Took a 3 to 4 yard gain, turned it into about a 20, 25 yard gain. That's the ability of Matthew Golden. And it's not just he caught it in stride and used his speed. He had two sick jukes in the open field. These are not your run of the mill, like, oh, I just kind of did a, you know, little wiggle and a no, this is different. You know, maybe Randall Cobb, driver, maybe a Jennings from time to time could throw something like this, but you don't see, and we haven't seen a lot of the Devontae Adams obviously had some really sweet moves in the open field as well. But we're talking about guys that had some legit moves in the open field. And the thing that I loved about Golden is he had those in his bag, but he also was able to do it just crisp as hell. So it was a tight cut and then an acceleration after that. And that what is what can be special. If you can have that, it's not like doing a bunch of back and forth and trying to make a guy miss. No, it's like you're going one way. And what happens when you're Matthew Golden, you're a 4.240 speed guy, right? They have to overcompensate. They have to take an angle on you. So you're making that aggressive move so that they're trying to get in front of you. And as soon as they do that, you're cutting behind them. And now you're seeing guys stumble past Matthew Golden. But even that's not enough. It's some guys can do that, right? They can make that and they can make that cut back on it. But if you don't have that instant acceleration and it takes you that second to kind of get going, guys are going to catch up to you. But when you're Matthew Golden, you have 4.240 speed, you can make that cut and then accelerate after it. Whoo, man, does that look fun? That was our first glimpse at it. That was a really fun play. Not only the catch, the juke, the acceleration, all of it, chef kiss, love to see it. Really, really fun play. Came back a few plays later, and I think it was kind of like a skinny post or a, you know, a slant type of route, you know, comes over the middle. And Love leads him ahead and fingertip catch. And what I love again here from Golden, he accelerates through it, accelerates through the catch. It's almost like the ball is like carrying him with him. And then that 4.240 speed takes over and is able to catch it in stride and utilize that speed in the open field. So great fingertip catch. And then the acceleration through it using that great speed to his advantage. Also had one that probably would have been a coverage sack by Baron Sorrell on Malik Willis, but after that, they let the play go. Malik Willis made a very sweet sidearm throw, hits Matthew Golden right along the sideline for a good gain there as well. Golden find himself some space as the play broke down. Again, probably would have been a sack, but they let the play go and Golden came up with another catch there. So multiple nice plays for Matthew Golden, but the sweet one was the sweet jukes in the open field that got Gregory Jr. and Tyron Hopper, you know, stumbling over and again, acres of space for Matthew Golden. Mecole Hardman continues to make plays. Had one really early in practice where Jordan Love rifled one in along the sidelines and Evan Williams had a decision to make. He could just go for the tackle, basically like being, you know, conceding the Mecole Hardman reception and just, you know, giving up a 15-yard play, or make that aggressive attempt to go and try to break up the pass, dives for it, misses it. Now Mecole Hardman catches the pass and gets in behind. Would have been a huge play, probably a touchdown. They blew it dead pretty quick after. I don't know if he stepped out of bounds, but would have been potentially a huge play. But Evan Williams went for the gamble. The gamble did not pay off, and Mecole Hardman got the best of it. And then later in practice, kind of like a deep crossing route or intermediate crossing route, where again, catches it in stride, accelerates after, and is able to get up the field a little bit. Mecole Hardman just every single day coming up with a couple of these plays. Also looked like the best, I shouldn't say bad, but most natural returner, just catching the punts. So we didn't see any real live punt return reps, but looked very natural. And just again, his ability not only to catch the punt, but naturally accelerate into the return right after it. You could tell not his first rodeo returning punts. Again, looked very good doing it. We'll be right back. Jordan Love, some good, some bad. I thought left a throw a little bit behind Tucker Kraft that Javon Bullard was able to accelerate to and make a pass breakup on. Also had a play down the field to Josh Jacobs, where Jacobs had his guy beat. Love put it out in front of him and just put too much on it. Again, at this or in start of training camp last year, once he reported, his deep ball looked the best I'd ever seen it. Had that beautiful deep ball in preseason, then got hurt. Had the great deep ball on day one to Josh Jacobs that just ultimately fell incomplete. A great play by Nate Hobbs, but also I think maybe it should have been a catch by Josh Jacobs. But outside of that, I thought Love was accurate. Didn't give no interceptable plays or anything like that, and certainly no interceptions. But a couple slight misses here or there, and again, no big explosive plays. Did have a couple of those plays down the field. Again, Matthew Golden was the one that caught it in stride. The one to Mecole Hardman earlier that I talked about, where Evan Williams made the diving attempt towards. There were some really nice plays there, but just some good, couple misses here and there, but nothing. Nothing too noteworthy either way. Again, some good, some bad. Nothing crazy for Jordan Love overall. Isaiah Simmons continues to show up. Had a potential would-be tackle on Marshawn Lloyd right around the line of scrimmage early on. Also had, we believe, that tip pass, which led to the interception by Carrington Valentine. I know there's a lot of excitement. Again, I would pump the brakes a little bit at this point. I know hope springs eternal, and former top 10 pick that is starting to show some things. You're getting flashbacks of guys like Rasul Douglas or who's Devondre Campbell when he made the first team All-Pro. I get it. There's an excitement there. There should be. He's played really well so far. Let's kind of let this carry over. Let this thing breathe a little bit. But it's been a really, really strong start to mini camp and training camp so far for Isaiah Simmons. And then Bo Melton. Bo Melton came up with back-to-back nice plays during one team activity. There was a read option by Malik Willis, who kept it and then ran to Melton's side. Melton was all over it, made what probably would have been a tackle right near the line of scrimmage. Again, I put tackle in quotes here, not a real tackle, but again, made the stop right at the line of scrimmage. And then had another play. Actually, I think it was two back-to-back plays where they tried to get Savion Williams over the middle of the field, and Melton was all over it. I mean, all over it, batted away the pass and came up with a pass breakup there. So a couple really nice plays for Bo Melton as defensive back, who has legitimately looked the part of corner so far through the first 2 days of training camp. Some miscellaneous plays throughout the course of practice. Rashawn Gary in 2024 did such a great job of really stepping up his run defense. And we saw that on display again. There was a play where Josh Jacobs, it's a stretch play to the left, and Jacobs comes to cut it back. And in years past, Rashawn Gary would go quarterback hunting. And just in case it's a bootleg or something, he's got that quarterback dead to rights. He stood with his assignment. He stuck with the play. He made sure he closed that back door so that there was no opportunity for Josh Jacobs to cut back. Josh Jacobs goes to cut back against the grain. And if Gary's not there, it's going to be a huge play for Josh Jacobs. But instead, Jacobs cuts back and Rashawn Gary's there waiting for him. Beautiful assignment, sure play from Rashawn Gary, and shut that play down, and it ends up in no gain. Whereas if Gary did not do his assignment or went quarterback hunting, you're probably looking at a 15, 20 yard run from Josh Jacobs. So love that play from Rashawn Gary. Edgerrin Cooper made his normal Edgerrin Cooper play where I think it was either a stretch or a toss play, and Cooper's at normal linebacker depth, and then the running back gets the ball, and somehow Edgerrin Cooper's there to meet him as soon as he gets the ball. It's just, it's uncanny, these type of plays that he just makes look routine, where all of a sudden he's at linebacker at depth, and then he's in the backfield with a 3-yard loss. it's crazy the ridiculous speed that he has. If there was any concern of like, ooh, he put on 11 pounds, like, is he still good? Yeah, he still has the speed. It is just, when you hear the cliche shot from a cannon, I will now probably forever from here on out, when you say shot out of a cannon, I will now by default think of Edgerrin Cooper, because he is the legitimate definition of shot out of a cannon. You just see him at linebacker, and then everyone else is like kind of going through their stretch play, and Edgerrin Cooper is just going through it like he is at a totally different pace than everyone else on the field. Really, really fun player to watch. Dontavian Wicks, back-to-back catches, no drops, no double catches, no bobbles. One really nice play from Love over the middle, and then a shorter play, just a little dig route, you know, probably 4 or 5 yard gain. But back-to-back plays through to Dontavian Wicks, and clean catches on both of them. You love, absolutely love to see it. Manuel Wilson hit a seam on a cutback on a run play. Really about the only good play from the run offense pretty much all day long was that Emmanuel Wilson play. I thought the run defense did a great job throughout the course of the day. Not much doing. Again, don't read anything into it because there's no pads on yet. Really doesn't matter. Not real running football at this point in time, but he made a great read on it. Saw a little daylight, got through there and exploded through it. So nice play from Emmanuel Wilson. Also had a nice play on a check down, by the way, where it was one of those plays where it's a check down, but there's that like tight end lead blocking in front of him. He made it look like he was going to go left. Everyone followed, and then he cut back right, was able to pick up some nice yardage after that. Malik Willis threw a beautiful deep ball down the field. Might have been just a touch too long. Savion Williams had to do a diving attempt. I think Savion would tell you he probably should have had it. It would not have been an easy catch whatsoever. This is a true legitimate layout type attempt, but it did hit his hands and Savion could not come down with it. So definitely a very difficult catch attempt, but Willis put it out there for him. Williams had the opportunity, but Williams could not come up with it. When you think of day two of training camp, you think of maybe, you know, some miscommunications or things like that. One great example of that, Jordan Love got multiple times throughout the course of the day, the defense to jump. And on this particular play, Edgerrin Cooper came up the middle. And before he made contact, the center, I don't know who it was on the play, was able to get the ball to Jordan. And they got the true free play. And Jordan wanted that deep ball down the field, throws it deep to Romeo Doubs. And my guess is that Romeo Doubs didn't realize it was a free play, cut off the route. And he was mad after the fact. I'm assuming he was probably mad at himself, but opportunity for a free play down the field. Doubs cuts it off and it falls harmlessly incomplete. You want that opportunity for that big shot play. Unfortunately, Love and Doubs just not on the same page on that particular play. Keith Randolph had a sack towards the end of practice. So, you know, anything that Keith Randolph can do to get his name out there is usually a good thing. But he had a sack at the end of practice. And then there were, as I mentioned, some struggles on the punt returns. Muffs by Golden, which we talked about. Dontavian Wicks had a muff as well. Reed let one bounce in front of him and had a little bit of issue with it. So the punt return game, a little bit of a work in progress. But again, Mecole Hardman looked very natural out there doing it. Those were sort of the key takeaways from day three of Packers training camp. Hope you guys, day two of Packers training camp. We're getting ahead of ourselves here. At least I am. Day three is going to be on Friday. I'll be out there covering everything, tweeting all about it. But of course, I will have an immediate live reaction right after. Yesterday's on Thursday was just about a half an hour. Should be closer to an hour on Friday to break everything down. And then of course, we'll have everything for you in the full recap on Saturday's episode as well. Make sure that you are checking out those Packaday podcast YouTube memberships. Like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Make sure you're getting the automatic downloads on the audio channel and make sure that you are getting those notifications on the YouTube channel. We'll see you guys all very, very soon. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle, Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Griff Henblee. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.